When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Cats baseball tonight. Pre-game coverage at 5:30, opening up a three-game series against the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. The 15th ranked team in the nation. We'll have first pitch at 6 tonight. First pitch at 4 on Saturday. And then I misspoke yesterday. It is 3 o'clock on Sunday. That was a change earlier this year because ESPNU will have the TV coverage on Sunday. Welcome to The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, about the Royals, and they're hosting the Orioles this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. You know, it's kind of funny. I all of a sudden have a bunch of friends that are going to the game on Saturday. I'm a little suspicious now.
Why?
Well, you know.
That they're as much of a bandwagoner as you are?
No. Well, Saturday is April 20th.
Oh.
And in the state of Missouri.
Yep. Oh. Yeah.
You see where I'm getting at.
Yeah. So, in other words, you're questioning whether they're going to the game or, yeah, they're going to the game.
Going to the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We discussed a little this morning. There is nothing like the sight of the state capitol in Denver with its gold dome gleaming above this huge cloud of smoke at 4:20 in the afternoon because Civic Center Park sits right across the street.
Yeah. Yeah, the state of Kansas got legal gambling and Missouri got grass.
Yep. It's true.
Oh, man.
No one's wearing a green shirt.
Yep. And people in Kansas City got both. They just got to drive 20 minutes either way. So there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of border hopping over there, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Man. I'm trying to remember who did the concert at CU that was such an adventure on a 420 celebration.
I can't imagine.
One of the last sanctioned 420 events that they had at CU.
Let's just say I'm a little suspicious, Owen.
All right, well, okay. Are you telling me that you don't have a bunch of friends that are going to watch Corbin Burns and Cole Reagans tear it up on the mound on a cold day?
Yeah.
Everyone's going. That actually makes it worse.
I don't know if it's just the AL rings that are being given out, 2014 AL champion rings.
It's a little challenging, though, I'm sure, to keep it lit when you're next to the fountains.
Yeah. Or just in the wind out there in general. That's what I would say. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that pitching matchup makes it a worse game. So it's actually even more suspicious because who wants to go sit in 40-degree temperatures to watch a 2-0 game because you got two aces on the mound?
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it too, but
especially now with the pitch clock in place.
That's true, yeah. We're not going to be there for 4 hours.
It's not tedium. Yes, exactly.
Sure. You know, you gave me a question just popped in my head. I got to actually thinking about it because you're making reference of the fountains and smoking in the stadium.
Yes.
And I got to thinking, like, when was actually the last time it was okay, you were allowed to smoke in a stadium?
Oh, goodness.
Like, how far back does that go? Because I know in the 90s, well, I think it was Bill Clinton that said you can't smoke in federal buildings.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, stadiums aren't federal buildings, but I'm sure it was stadium by stadium back in those days. But it had to be around that time. Like, Troy, do you recall a time of going to a Major League Baseball stadium and people were smoking in the stadium?
I have been in stadiums I do recall where you would catch a whiff more of cigar smoke than you would a cigarette.
Okay. Hmm. I'm convinced people only smoke cigars to look cool.
That's basically what it's for. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a
or
fan.
Or feel cool.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
They say there's a taste to it, and, you know, I'm sure
I could.
We might get a caller that that disagrees with our take, but for the most part, yeah, it's an experience thing, not a.
Because you're not actually smoking, you don't actually inhale it.
Yeah, you don't.
It
inhale
would mess
smoke.
You up if you started inhaling cigar smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So you're maybe right. It is a, you know, maybe some people just truly enjoy it for the taste or whatever, but
not me.
Yeah, not me either. And the whole grass thing, that's never really been my thing either.
Yeah, again, as we talked about it this morning, I've never really? Have.
Never, not my, ever.
Never no. in your life. You've never tried it, ever? No.
That's crazy to
me. I mean, I've had plenty of whiffs, but not my intent.
Huh.
Not my thing.
It's not that I'm like, oh, everybody has, but just the amount of concerts you went back in the day, you're telling me there wasn't something circling around in the crowd?
Oh, well,
there?
Sure, yeah. That's, I mean, I'm just time? Saying I've had plenty of whiffs. It's not been intentional.
Fair.
On okay. my part.
Fair enough.
Meanwhile, cocaine, Troy is...
Don't get him started now. Don't get him going.
Nope.
It's a different,
nope.
It's a different kind of Coke for Troy.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what gets him up in the morning.
As I said, as I make it clear, I have one big item that is in there, yes.
Well, yeah. And...
Wyclef Jean, that's who it was that was at CU.
Concert?
Was the last concert, last sanctioned event. And basically, the campus folks decided we're done with this. $150,000 later to pay the security and everything, they just said we're through with it.
Okay, so in 1993 and 94, Major League Baseball said they allowed smoking in the seating areas unless it bothered another fan. If they received a complaint, the smoker had to put out the cigarette or move to the concourse. The smoke-free policy for seating areas instituted was adopted in 1995.
Wow.
Some stadiums had already banned smoking mm-hmm. by then.
So well ahead of the game as it pertains to such things as smoking in restaurants.
Well, restaurants, yeah, that took a while. And even, I mean, down in Oklahoma, you can still smoke in bars.
Yes.
I don't know, like, in just regular restaurants, but I know in bars.
I think casinos have.
Casinos also, yeah. like, mm-hmm. have the, mm-hmm. you know, half they months. Have their own rules, basically, especially, well, reservations. Yeah, they have their own rules. I mean, heck, go to Prairie Band, that gas station. They have a whole room dedicated to cigarettes.
That is a whole discussion that I could get into.
Well, let's save it for another day because I have other discussions I want to get to.
Politics, taxes, and yes.
Later on in this hour, remember next week is the NFL draft. That means Thursday we'll have our fifth annual The Game draft. I'll be announcing the theme for this year's draft. Later on in this hour, we'll get to some recruiting news as well. The big college football news today, which is, we were actually expecting it for about 2 months now, but it's now becoming official with the NCAA making an approval. And it's two major things. One had been covered throughout a number of press conferences during spring football, and that is helmet communication. Coach-to-player helmet communication will be allowed this year at the FBS level. And then for all levels, college football will now have the 2-minute warning. After reading about the reasons why there's going to be a 2-minute warning, even before it, I wasn't a fan. I'm still not a fan of the 2-minute
Mm-mm.
warning.
Mm-mm.
It's too NFL-y for me. I still like a few of those rule differences between the two levels. Like in college football, still has, even though there is the tiebreaker, the alternating 2-point conversions after the second overtime. I'm still a bigger fan, obviously, of the college football overtime. But this obviously now, we're now much closer to the games with adding these two things. Now, the obvious reason for the helmet communications is because of Michigan.
Thanks,
sign stealing, buying the tickets in rival or conference or potential college football playoff opponent stadiums to go get signs. Yeah, this was a pretty big scandal
right.
this year. Michigan ends up winning a national championship. They're never going to lose that national championship because the college football playoff is not an NCAA-sanctioned event. Now, I have been vocal about how I feel about this, and I'm like, hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Yeah, Michigan just got caught.
True.
And Jim Harbaugh was suspended for a handful of games and still coached the college football playoff.
And then hightailed it before the penalties hit.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he's out. Heading to the NFL.
Same as it ever was.
But here's the deal with that. Here's some rules you need to know about that. Once you reach 15 seconds on the play clock, those communications are cut off. And now you're back to the sideline. You're back to signals if you want to change the play. If it's after that, the 15 seconds left on the play clock. So there's still going to be signals. And Coach mentioned it. Coach Kleiman mentioned it on Saturday when we spoke to him after their final practice of the spring. That was, you know, yes, they've been working with it. There's still some things they got to work out. And those conversations will take place later on. But it's not going to end sign stealing. There's still
right.
communication you have to have with your team. It doesn't have to be with the quarterback. It can be with, you know, wide receivers. You know, it doesn't have to be the quarterback that has the mechanism in their helmet. It could be, but it will, I mean, most likely, obviously, more often than not, if any, it will be the quarterback that receives us because they're going to call the plays. And even in no-huddle situations, obviously the play is going to go to them. It's not like, you know, what you'll see in high school football. They rotate wide receivers to bring in running plays. So let's get those wide receivers in the game and just block all the game, you know, the whole game. It happens a lot. But the thing is, actually, what's crazy about that is many might not know about this, but there's been a lot of high school, like states at the high school level that had adopted helmet communication a long time ago.
Yep.
I think Kentucky had it 10 years ago.
Really?
I don't know. I know Kansas doesn't do that, but
I want to say Texas does.
I'm not sure.
Not surprised if they do. I mean,
I'll try to look and see.
I'm not sure.
I mean, you given what those stadiums are like in the metros, oof.
But for the 2-minute warning, I think there's been a little bit of a misconception about this. It's also still a little bit confusing, and I don't know how much you've looked into this, but so basically the reason why college football is adopting the 2-minute warning has it's not adding an extra commercial break.
Correct.
And I think people saw that as like, oh, it's just an opportunity to make more money. There will not be an extra media timeout. There's a couple of reasons why there's going to be a 2-minute warning. One, it's to eliminate TV taking back-to-back breaks late in a quarter to make up a break, which I'm still a little confused by that because the 2-minute warning is not in the college level, not going to be a media timeout, you know?
Okay.
So there's that, and then there is when the 2-minute mark hits in college football, now the last quarter of each half, second and fourth quarter, different rules apply. And it has to do with the clock. So it's like to tell officials, like at the NFL level, hey, we've reached 2 minutes. Really, the warning is for the officials, really not for anybody else. It's for the officials. And it's the same way in the NFL.
It essentially comes down to being the heads up that the timing rules change here is what you're getting at.
And I'm like, we can't just pay attention to the clock. I just don't like the free timeout. The way I look at it is the free timeout aspect. Like, well, you know, it's less of an advantage for the team that may have the lead and the ball to run out the clock type of thing. I'm like, listen, each team gets 3 timeouts. You have 60 minutes to go win a game. I'm just not a fan of the extra timeout so the officials know that, hey, some rules are changing right now.
I'm trying to understand why they're saying that this will eliminate the back-to-back timeout or the media timeout.
Like you score a touchdown.
Right, yeah. And
commercial, kickoff, commercial.
Right, I get that. How does this change that if it's not a media break?
I don't know.
Are they
That's what I didn't understand. And I was trying to find an explanation on that, and I couldn't really find anything.
Yeah, that's not making any sense.
Unless they're going to take a timeout and play a commercial then, but they're saying it's not for that purpose. Maybe, I guess.
Well, it would make sense, I guess, if that was put in to have a designated spot to take a timeout.
Yeah. just to have
if it's like your last commercial before the end of the half. Because it does happen in college football, but it's more common at the NFL level that you'll see the score, commercial, kickoff score. It happens
a lot.
The
worst. Absolutely the worst chain of events.
But it seems to always happen when, like, you know, early in a quarter, like the second quarter, you have a score and they don't take the TV timeout. Mm-hmm. They don't take the media timeout. They just roll on because we just got back into the quarter or whatever. And then they find, you know, and then for some reason in the truck, they're lollygagging, not wanting to take the timeout. And so they got to try to make it up later in the quarter.
They find out later that this is what needs to take place. Yeah.
It happens at the Bill all the time. Shout out to Brett, who's always watching the guy in the southwest corner of the stadium that has like the red hat.
We call him the red hat.
We're waiting for the signal. Is he going to spin his arm? Is he going to take us to timeout? What are we going to do? And we're always watching after every change of possession or a timeout or a score. Are we going? And there's, you know, it's quite often actually we're a little surprised that we're not taking a break at that point. You know, or is there an injury? Is the guy going to come out? Or are we going to get a timeout or not? Those questions happen all the time, and it happens quite often that we will have to take back-to-back commercial breaks because they didn't take one earlier when they should have.
Man, you know, that is something that I do not miss about calling games, having to keep that extra little tidbit. And my color guy and I were good at it, you know, in terms of both of us keeping an eye open for him, because that way one of us could be peering right, one could be looking left in case he had gotten one to one end of the field or the other. But making sure, hey, what's the red hat up to here? Do we have a break? Do we not? Because and then there are the times that they'll just fool you and take an extra 30 seconds before they walk out and give you an indication.
So again, there is, that happens too.
Yeah.
I do love the clock.
Hate those guys.
I do love the clock that they bring out to show how much time is left. But it's always the worst angle for me. They always have it like facing the northeast and the southwest.
Right.
So I'm sitting at the north 30-yard line and I'm looking down at the field. And I always try to time so we're coming back. We're getting ready for play. And I like to announce the down and distance before the white hat gives the whistle. And let's go play.
Right.
I'm always guessing, but because I can't see the damn clock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Hi. Welcome to Press Box Problems.
Yeah. It's
with Troy and Mitch.
Yeah. It's a PA. Well, some may see it as a minor inconvenience. To me, it's a pretty big inconvenience.
Yeah, it is.
I like to do my job a little better.
they just need to get a second clock out there for you, is what they need to do. You told me you don't have enough pull over there to just get a second clock out for the PA guy?
The ones that really get me is when they will, when you get this at the basketball arenas, and they'll pull the game time off the clock so that they can time the timeout. So you go to look at the clock going into a commercial break, and it's been wiped out to give you the countdown for the timeout.
30,
you're not helping.
Clock. Not at all.
I think it's angled the certain way so both sidelines can see it.
Right.
If it were to be in my convenience and it's more pointing towards the press box, which maybe they need to see it maybe not just as much, but it would make our jobs easier. It may be a little bit harder for like the east sideline to see it, which is the opposing team.
Let's just build a four-sided version of it and call it good.
That'd be fantastic.
It's not that hard. You know, we can figure these things out.
Until some guy gets caught by the wind carrying that thing out there and blows over.
All four.
Let's take a timeout.
I'm just imagining.
Bat Cats coming up at 5:30. That's when pregame coverage starts. And we got the Pokes in town. The 15th-ranked Cowboys of Oklahoma State with first pitch at 6:05 from Toyton Family Stadium. Talk a little recruiting. Not only basketball, some football recruits, transfer portal guys in town this weekend. That's coming up next. Santino Marella his theme song. What do you have today for wrestling history?
So today in wrestling history, and I think it was actually, I want to say it was Wednesday this week. I didn't have anything for Friday, but Wednesday this week, Santino Marella made his debut and the shocking win over Umaga for the Intercontinental Championship in his debut match with the help from Bobby Lashley.
Umaga, part of the bloodline.
Yeah.
I can't remember how he's related to Roman Reigns and The Rock.
I want to say they're cousins, okay. Which I know that that's the cop-out
answer. He passed away pretty young.
Yeah, it was five years ago.
I remember they brought Santino out of the crowd. Like they had him as an audience member. It was in Milan, Italy.
Yeah. It was super. As a kid, that was the coolest thing ever. I was like, because obviously as a kid, you have no idea the guy's a plant. You're like, oh my, this guy just won the Intercontinental Championship out of the crowd.
But the best part about Santino, he became a comedy gimmick.
Uh-oh.
And basically what they had him do every time is every time you interact with a wrestler, your job is to make them break.
That was his job. Try to make the other guy smile.
Try to make them laugh. Try to make them break character. So basically a popular thing he would do is like just mispronounce their names.
Just butcher the names or anything about
where they're
from.
But he had a funny fake Italian accent.
Yeah, it was. It was great. John Cena.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. Try to pronounce John Cena.
Wait, and John Cena didn't know that was coming.
Yep.
And you're doing live TV.
Uh-huh.
It got him.
He didn't try to fight it too hard, though. That was pretty funny.
That's good.
We're back in the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. I'm bouncing a little before 5 o'clock, heading out to Twitten Family Stadium. 5:30 pregame, first pitch 6:05. Game 1 of 3 against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. It's a pretty big series. If you ask anybody, that's a pretty big series this weekend. K-State trying to bounce back from losing 3 straight Big 12 series, just swept last weekend at Oklahoma. Now it's time to go out and stun a top 25 program and win a series. Need to take 2 out of 3. Very crucial time here for K-State to bounce back here in the month of April as the Cats are 4-6. Oof. In the month of April. It's been a rough go for the offense, who had a very good March here in the month of April. So, you know, we did not have anybody on from K-State Online this week. So I want to give them their plug of the week here. And it has to do with the recruiting because we talked about this kid yesterday. I think I mispronounced his name yesterday. Brendan Housen, not Hauser, Housen. The 6'4 sophomore from Villanova who played a couple of years at Villanova for the Wildcats. He was in Manhattan this past season as he watched the game winner from Tyler Perry with just a few seconds left, and he saw that from the bench. He's like, my God, the Octagon of Doom is for real. He'll be visiting this weekend. And we mentioned yesterday his highlight tape. It's three-point shooting. He can be a killer from three. He would be a great depth piece off the bench. You're looking around, Troy. It's like people walking around this.
Yeah.
Kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah, people are just
I'm waiting for somebody like to come because the door is behind me. So I'm like waiting. Is like anybody coming in? Like,
I think somebody wants to come in there, but they know that you're currently live on the air.
And it happens to be someone who has had a role in this show in the past.
Oh, okay.
He who shall not be named. That's what I'm going to call him.
I'm surprised he's not in the ballpark. If it's that person.
Oh, no.
Not different.
Oh, somebody else.
No, Travion.
Travion, if you're listening, come in here.
Come in here right now.
I'm serious. If you're listening, I want to ask you about something.
All right.
I know there's a radio out there. I don't know if you can hear us. If not, we'll get him during the break.
I'll track him down.
Because he went to Coachella.
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
And I want to know about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Dang. Hopefully,
I'll go get him right now if you want me to.
Please. Yeah, go get him. We'll bring him in during the break.
He was in attendance along with Taylor Swift, huh? Interesting.
And Travis Kelce. Didn't T-Swift just come out with some new music? And there's a song about...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce?
Yes, there is.
I heard it was leaked.
That, yes. Okay. Yeah, some stuff made their way onto a Google Drive, and whole mess.
Travis Kelce, he got a song about him, and they're not even done. They're still together.
No, and it's interesting lyrics, but it's
positive.
You were
about to say it's a good song.
I wasn't going to say good song, I meant positive song. Is where I was going with that.
Okay.
I haven't heard the song itself. I just know what the lyrics are.
I just heard about it.
Yeah, it's positivity.
All right, so back to Brendan Housen. Kid shot 39% from three in his career, nearly 40%. And that's that's taken about 4 or 5 shots from three a game this past year for Villanova, who did not make the NCAA tournament. They were a NIT team, first-round bounce, like K-State was. But what a hell of a depth piece this could be. I hope he does pick K-State because he could be a flamethrower when he's on. K-State's probably not going to lose a game if he's coming off the bench and giving you some three-pointers. I think that's exactly what K-State could use when it comes to depth. Cat's still needing a big as well. Terrace Reed, Bobo Miller have both visited. Both have not made their decisions. I know K-State is also interested in Rutgers big man Clifford Amori from Rutgers. And again, averaged 14 points, 9 rebounds a game, also with a couple of blocks per game as well. That would be a hell of an addition, but he has not scheduled a visit to K-State. He's been looking at Alabama and Georgetown. I believe he's planned visits there, but hasn't taken them yet. It's according to Joe Tipton of On3. So just kind of waiting for the next word here. We could get another word this weekend about a potential transfer picking up or giving K-State a commitment. And that could be housing this weekend. On the football front, this is really you know something we haven't talked about recently, and that is what K-State is going to want to do football-wise in the transfer portal. I know they've been taking their time, really looking at who's in the portal, who would be the right fit. And according to On3, K-State will have 3 potential transfers coming into town. The way you look at things, you look at the offensive line, could probably use a little extra depth there just to shore up some numbers. Linebacker's a possibility. Defensive line, potentially the secondary as well. Running back, you know, and I know this is surprising to some, but running back really hasn't been, at least from what I've gathered, a position they look at and not necessarily needing a need from the transfer portal.
Okay.
And again, with Joe Jackson, Rice, playing behind, I'm blanking on a name, but playing behind DJ Giddens. I think with those freshmen, you have a great opportunity to strike gold with one of them because they're that talented. Those players come in, there'll be a couple of linebackers. You know, you got to mention Jake Clifton, who did start a few games last year at middle linebacker but got hurt. He's Mormon. He has been thinking about taking his mission trip.
Oh.
And so that means he wouldn't play this year.
Right.
And from what I know, because of his you know his injury, he should be healed and ready to go by the fall. But he may not play this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still thinking about that decision. So just not sure about that. New Mexico, Alec Marinko, who had over 60 tackles this past year, is going to visit. And Miles Jernigan from Cal, who had over 30 tackles this year. Is planning to visit, so maybe an extra linebacker potentially coming in for the Cats. And then you have, I'm sure people have seen this name on social media if you pay attention to recruiting on social media, but Andrew Shambly from Arkansas, who's a pretty solid offensive lineman, could potentially become a Cat. So he's visiting as well. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, I want to give again a shout-out, since we didn't have D.Y. or Mason on, a shout-out to On3, who do an excellent job of recruiting coverage for K-State men's basketball and also football. With that, let's see if we can find Travion. We'll take a timeout. When we come back as well, the game draft is this coming Thursday. The theme for that draft is coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Travion Berkland.
Man thinks he's too good for us.
Oh.
Former board op of the show is is back in studio.
I'm just running around the world in less than 80 days.
Okay.
This young man just went to Coachella.
On less than 80 minutes of sleep, too.
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah. True.
I just want to know how... What'd you think of Coachella?
I mean, it was everything I thought it'd be and more, I guess. Just, you know, filled with people. I mean, California is just weird anyways because it's just a bunch of fake people. But, you know, I don't know. It was fun. I had a good time. It's like the Super Bowl of music festivals, really, because every performance is like such a big event and so much special effects and guest stars. I really didn't anticipate like how big it would be until I was there.
Did you see Grimes' bad act?
I did not, but I heard a lot of negative things. I think that was on the No Doubt day where I waited all day, so I didn't get to swing by.
So it was Lollapalooza, right? You went in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you were like dead set to be in front of the stage.
Right.
Did you do the same for Coachella? Were you up front?
So I did that for one of the 3 days, and it was the No Doubt day because they're reuniting for this festival.
Right.
And they're one of my favorite bands, so I made an effort to do that. But also that was the same day Sublime was going to be on the main stage, and also Blur and Tyler, the Creator, who I'm also fans of. So I was, you know, that was going to be my day.
How many people were there?
I have no idea. That's one thing my dad was asking me too, but I haven't been able to look it up yet. So
who was the best? Who were some of the best performers?
I mean, obviously No Doubt, Mitch. Come on.
I saw a little bit of it. It's like somebody recorded it.
Right.
I hate people when they record the concerts, but I love finding them on YouTube to see how they were.
Right. Yeah. They were streaming like all the main stage stuff, but it'll go back in rotation this weekend, I think. So, I mean, just really good. Sublime was really good because Bradley Nowell's son is taking the mantle for singing duties and stuff, and he was really good. Blur, I don't think the audience really liked Blur that much. I only know the one song by them, so that was kind of the consensus there, I think, with the audience. They were just kind of waiting for the one song. But they were bigger in Britain, it seems like, than here. But and then Tyler, the Creator, like, he puts on a hell of a show.
He's a performer.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, too.
Well, I'm sure Tyler, Creator is around. I'm sure Nardwuar was around there somewhere.
Yeah, I heard Nardwuar was somewhere, but I couldn't find him. There was a lot of big people around that I just didn't see. Taylor Swift was there, didn't see her. Rihanna was there. Paris Hilton, all these people. Justin Bieber.
So I remember at Lollapalooza, you mentioned all these celebrities you saw, but you didn't see any there, huh?
Right. No, I mean, I saw Amber Rose. I saw Amber Rose used to date Kanye West.
Mm-hmm. I think there's more, though, right?
She's dated quite a few.
Yeah.
Rappers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I walked that's by her, and I was like, that's Amber Rose. And then I ran into the Sublime guys, and I got a picture with them, and that was pretty cool.
That's sick.
And then I ran into Tommy Lee and his wife and his kids, and that was crazy.
Like, just in the mass of people was Tommy Lee. And
so I did splurge to get a VIP ticket. I splurged for that because I was like, I'm going all the way out to Cali. I got to, you know, this is my vacation.
This doesn't surprise me.
I got to say.
I respect it. We've been through this before, yes.
I got to say, though, that's like I've done VIP for a couple festivals now, and this was the worst, like what you get out of it. There's no special line. Like, it was bad. Like, it's the cheapest VIP section I've ever been in. The only thing that you pay for is you might get to see celebrities. Some other ones I saw Cole Sprouse, who used to be in Zack and Cody. You know, and I used to have his poster on my wall, so I was like, whoa, that's Cody over there, chain smoking cigarettes. That's weird.
But well, he's grown up now.
Yeah.
They say don't meet your heroes.
Who was the other? I saw Tyga, too, and he's a rapper.
Sure.
Pretty big rapper. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, you know.
I did get the attendance pulled up here. So,
oh, nice.
So from what it's saying, they had slower ticket sales, but the anticipated attendance, and this is on the 12th. I don't think there's any official numbers out yet. Nearly 200,000 fans over the two weekends. I think they were expecting 250,000 over the two weekends. So quite a few people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, music festival in the U.S. for sure. But it's weird this year because they said there was lower ticket sales, and a lot of people like on Reddit were saying that there's like walking around there was not as many people as in years past, which obviously I don't have anything to compare that to, but you know, it's such a big festival, so huge, so much land and so many like little things to do on just the, you know, not just the main stages, but like just a lot of places to walk around and do stuff.
So where'd you stay all weekend?
I got a camping, so you can do car camping there. You could either do tent camping or car camping, and I went for the car camping, and I rented some stuff from a sporting goods store in L.A., and then I went out to Indio and camped out.
Man, Travia, what an operation, because you flew out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you had to get a car.
All solo.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm. Just rented a car and camped in it for a week.
Yeah,
it's not cheap to rent a car.
No.
Sick.
So I planned for this starting last July. So it was
You slept in a car all weekend.
I didn't sleep in a car though. I got a tent. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Lollapalooza, I slept in a car, but this time
I at least
got upgraded to a tent. So
there you go. That
was at least smart man.
Would you do it again?
I would go to Coachella again. I wouldn't probably go out all out with like VIP and stuff again because I feel like that was kind of a waste of money. But I did get to meet Tommy Lee and I did get to see some other C-list celebrities. So I guess if that's enough. But no, I didn't get to see like Taylor Swift or Katy Perry or any of those uber famous people because they have a separate pass for that.
Well, Tommy Lee seems like he would be pretty chill to...
Yeah, he was really nice. So I that was the first night, and that was when Lana Del Rey was the headliner, and so she came on stage. But I saw Tommy Lee, and I was like fixated on. I have to get a picture with Tommy Lee. Like I can't leave until I see Tommy Lee. So I waited around for like a little bit because like he was just talking with his wife Brittany Furlan, who used to be like on Vine,
popular
on there. And so eventually I just tapped his shoulder and I was like, hey, I'm a big fan. Could I get a picture? And he was like, yeah, dude. Okay, well, let's do it. And so they were pretty nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Tommy Lee, drummer for Motley Crue.
Yeah. That's so sick. That was pretty rad.
Super sick. Well, Travion, thanks for stopping by. I just wanted a quick synopsis of Coachella, and I'm glad you had a good time. I always worry about you putting all this money into these trips and these concerts. I want you to have the best time ever.
Right,
it sounds like
you're
doing a pretty good job of that.
I try my best. It's hard to do things solo sometimes, but you know, it worked out pretty good this time.
I mean, so. I'm super curious to know like what you pay on Coachella? You want to tell us what you pay? Like what you think you spent altogether?
So the car camping was like altogether like $350, and then the ticket itself was like a rack. So
just a cool thousand.
Yeah,
man, he's cooler. He said a grand is a rack. Like that's
it sounds less, you know.
I'm just
painful
not that cool
when you say that, I guess.
All right, Travion. Well, I know you got things to do. Thanks for stopping by, man. I'm glad you had a lot of fun. What's next on the concert list?
Nothing. I would have to – honestly, I've just been in such a throw this last week with, like, everything going on. I think the next thing I have paid going to is MJ the Musical in Kansas City. So that's the Michael Jackson Broadway show. So that's going to be a big deal when it comes around.
I saw Kool & the Gang is coming to Wichita
for
Riverfest. I think it's what it's called.
I saw Alice Cooper's coming to Park City. That would be fun.
So Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, they're doing a show up in Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
So I thought about going to that. My dad wants to see Rob Zombie.
That would be cool.
So, all right, I'll let you go.
Cool.
We're going to take a break here soon. But
good to chat with you guys. It's been a fat minute. And so hopefully by the time it's summer, I could pop in more.
How many hours are you taking next fall?
27.
I think it's, I'm not locked in yet, but I think I'm at like 9 right now, which is lower than
whoa.
That's like less than half.
Our boy's going to have a life.
You typically do like 21.
All online too, which is nice. Oh, so I think after the semester, no more in-person classes, which I'm praising the Lord on. So, more free time.
Well, Travion, you may be interested to hear this because we're going to do our draft next week, and it's our annual draft because the NFL draft is coming up next Thursday or starts on Thursday, and we always do a four-round draft. There's typically five of us, which I got a special guest lined up, waiting for one more to get a confirmation. Our theme next week will be video games.
Oh.
I got the most votes because I had a long list.
Yeah, you did.
And everybody I talked to is like, that would be a good one.
Man, that's good.
It's a wide variety.
Stellar.
From genre to 80s, 90s, 2000s, console. It could go all over the place.
I might have to talk to you about it later. I'd love to add a wrinkle of trying to put some lines on how many sports games are going to be brought up versus how many of this games. Over under seven Maddens on the total.
The whole goal is to just put together a draft that you think will beat out everybody else in the vote.
I'm so handcuffed by my age.
Troy will be fine.
Pong. One overall.
There's only so many Mike Tyson punch outs.
Pitfall, brother. Pitfall.
That game gives me such a headache.
I got to bounce, guys. I'll let these guys take it to 5:30. We'll take a break. Go Cats.
Go
closing in on the top of the hour. Again, we've got K-State baseball coming up. 5:30 coverage tonight from out at Toynton Family Stadium. The Cats finally back home for a weekend, and it's going to be a fun weekend. Sell out tomorrow with Bark at the Park on tap. 3 o'clock game on Sunday. Bear that in mind, folks. It's a different start time Sunday than the usual because of television. So 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon out at Toynton Family Stadium. Yeah, it's not the beautiful warmth we saw for the Texas series.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, hey, listen, it's still spring.
Yeah, it's not going to be cold. It won't be warm, but it won't be cold.
Correct. You may be a little chillier tomorrow night sitting out there in the outfield.
Yeah, I'm going to have
at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, make sure I pack the hand warmers tomorrow. Make sure I'm ready to go.
It's April. Listen, you know, why don't you go to opening day? I don't go to opening day because I've sat through opening day in the upper deck when the wind is busting you at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think I would. I'm going to go to an opening day eventually. But I could definitely see, like, if you've been a couple of them, you're like, I'd rather just watch it at home.
We did that where a buddy of mine and I went for about 3 years straight. And then the post game was hitting a barbecue place in Lawrence on the way home.
There you go.
That was solid.
Yeah,
that was the way to do it. But it was always so doggone chilly. You know, and about the seventh inning, you're hungry.
Yep. Yep. That's why I always try to, like, not eat right before I go to the game. And so I'll get something like maybe two innings in. Yeah, I'm going to pay an arm and a leg for whatever it is. But that'll get me until I can hit McDonald's afterwards on the way home.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah, well, we were doing better than McDonald's. And part of the reason that we were so hungry by the time we got to the seventh inning, the pile of fries this place would put on the plate was just...
Like, I'm just going to wait.
I mean, this was Five Guys-esque before Five Guys. So, you know, you'd try to wait it out, and Kevin Apier was pitching. I mean, that was just a bad idea.
Boys are going to starve waiting around for this one, Dan.
So a half hour worth of the game coming back after a check of the local news on this Friday afternoon. Troy and Owen with you to take you up to K-State baseball game time as the Cats and Pokes get after it tonight just after 6 o'clock. 5:30 coverage coming up. I'm not sure which is more of a smokescreen. 420 or anything that's being reported ahead of the NFL draft next week?
Well, I could tell you for sure there's definitely smoke screens going around the draft.
Oh.
I can neither confirm nor deny the other reports. I could definitely confirm the NFL draft ones.
Troy and Owen with you for the final half hour of the game this afternoon and the final half hour for the week on News Radio KMAN. You just saw this tweet, a report per NFL Network. And again, this is a prime example going into Thursday of next week. Caleb Williams has proceeded through the pre-draft process unlike any other prospect ever. Caleb paused pre-draft training to go to Tokyo with his girlfriend, is the quote. First of all, that is probably reviewable on social media.
Yeah, most likely.
So I'm not sure how valid of a report that actually is. I'm just stating, here come the smoke screens.
Yeah, I just don't know where we're talking about. Like, now, if we're throw a smoke screen around everybody but Caleb Williams, there are only a thing... I could count on both hands how many things that could happen before next Thursday that would get Caleb Williams to not be selected number one overall. And they're all probably bad enough to where he doesn't get drafted at all. But none of them are going to happen. If he's not the number one overall pick, I don't know what I'll do. I'll get my hair cut like you, I guess. Maybe that's what I'll do. Caleb Williams is going one. No smoke screens.
I believe that you're probably right. And not necessarily because just in general it's Caleb Williams, but also because, and the AP did their final mock draft yesterday and publicized it as potentially seeing it be the most, quote unquote, offensive first round ever.
It does not surprise me. Like, when I look at this class, like, there's probably three edge rushers, three, maybe four defensive backs, and then it is tackles, receivers, two guards, and quarterbacks.
And I just peered in on CBSSports.com, and Tom Fornelli there is talking about that their latest mock, which does have Caleb Williams at number one, would see five quarterbacks go in round one. Three of them, bang, bang, bang.
I'm surprised there's not a fourth one right in line either.
Well,
I think
that would be because you have Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
available.
Yeah, at four.
But you have four of the first five picks would go quarterback.
Yeah. I think that's probably how it's going to shake. If you had to add, now the big question mark is what Washington does it to, because I think it drastically affects what New England does. If Washington goes Drake May, I think New England becomes a wild card that could trade out. I have no idea. But if McDaniels goes two, May's going three, I can almost guarantee you Harrison's going to the Cardinals four, and then you're left up to possibly Minnesota moving into five.
Bing.
Which is the most likely scenario to take McCarthy at five.
There you go. Yeah. You just nailed what the mock draft that Fornelli was talking about here on CBSSports.com looks like. That's your first five right there.
That's probably it. Now, the only thing is, I feel like a lot of members of the media are in love with Jaden Daniels a lot more than NFL teams are. And if May goes at two, I don't know if New England needs playmakers. And I understand the quarterback spot is the most important one on the field. But there are not many receiver prospects like Marvin Harrison Jr., you know. And it's one of those things where if they're really in love with Drake May and they don't really like any other quarterbacks, take the best. Unless somebody's offering a crazy deal to come up, which sounds like the Vikings are going to be one of those teams in play. The Raiders could be in play for that. The Broncos might trade up. It all depends on how it falls.
I'm just going to point out that you mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., but if there is going to be anybody for whom there is a smokescreen about, he's the guy next week that we're going to see a lot, because he is reticent to do anything media-wise and was not a participant in very much at the combine.
Yeah, because he didn't. I don't know if I fully agree with the stance, but, like, you know, because he didn't need to be. I mean, this
true.
This guy was the number one receiver off the board for this year's draft last year. We were doing mock drafts for 2023, talking about the receivers that were going to go, and they're like, next year Marvin Harrison's the best guy off the board, but this year here's what's happening. It's been set in stone for this long, and if it wasn't for such a great quarterback class. If this was like the Kenny Pickett quarterback class year, Marvin Harrison's probably going number one overall.
Right.
Or Joe Alt, maybe. It would be a very weak class without the quarterbacks that you have stacked at the top here. But it's going to, this is probably the most unpredictable draft I think I've ever been a part of as a fan, or like trying to make any type of analysis on, because it's all based on fit. You have three edge rushers that could go in the first round, and they could go in any order just depending on what teams like more about what guy. Same thing with tackles. I think that's where you're going to see the biggest variation.
Mock draft going four quarterbacks in the top five. This is at CBSSports.com. And then you don't have another quarterback taken until 31.
And 31. Is Penix at 31?
Nope. Nix.
Really? Bo Nix at 31.
To the Broncos.
I personally like Penix probably. For me, I think Penix is better than Daniels is. And I think he's better than McCarthy, and I think he's better than Nix. But I'm a very large believer in Michael Penix.
Oh, and they have the Chiefs at 32 taking Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
Yeah, and see, and this is where it gets wide receiver again, another position that is just, you could, like, the top three is pretty set. We're going to see Marvin Harrison Jr. and then either Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze out of Washington are going to be the next two guys off. And then after that, I've seen Brian Thomas go at pick 17, and I've seen him available at 62 for Baltimore. So, like, there's one mock draft where A.D. Mitchell's in the second round, and then I saw another one with him going at 10 to the Jets. It's everywhere come Thursday.
This is what amazes me and always has amazed me about the draft. And it's even more pronounced when you start talking college football recruiting. It is an utter and total crapshoot.
Yeah.
We can sit here and we can talk until we are blue in the face and discuss, well, this option, that option, X, Y, and Z taking place, or this will happen, or this guy's going to grade out well. It was on this date a number of years back that you had someone say, I don't care who Mel Kiper is.
Yep. Who cares what Mel Kiper thinks anyways?
Now, granted, Kiper was right on that one.
And he is quite a few times over, but he's also been wrong quite a few times over.
Okay. 7 years ago today, the Chiefs drafted a guy that many thought wasn't going to be.
Was a project and a day two kind of guy.
One Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. That guy just so happens to be a three-time Super Bowl MVP and the best quarterback in the league now. So,
unbelievable.
Now,
again, it tells you the crap, Tom Brady. I mean, the ultimate.
I will say draft day when Mahomes was picked, I was shocked. And I liked Mahomes coming out. You can't deny just the numbers that he put up at Texas Tech.
Sure.
But I was like, Deshaun Watson just beat Alabama in a national championship. Like, I like Patrick Mahomes. I am not taking him over a guy I just watched Bama beat in the biggest game of the year.
Consider this, though. 7 years later, Patrick Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at – if you think the Chiefs had headaches, well, with Rashee Rice right now.
They've got their fish.
Among others.
Yeah, that'd be something else. That was –
Oh, my.
City, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's – again – this is why I just am always floored by it. And yes, it makes great talk fodder.
Oh, I
it's
love sitting
beautiful.
Here.
Yeah, I know.
We can fill the next half hour.
I mean, you're the guy who's a podcaster about this stuff. So
very true.
You know,
we did our mock draft episode last week, actually. So there you go. And the only thing, and I'll say this, like I always do agree, like there is some things you can see in guys, but a lot of the times it's guesswork and you're just... It's a luck of the draw kind of thing. If Marvin Harrison is a bust at the NFL level and is not this generational superstar receiver, I will chalk it up to complete guesswork. I will be at a loss for words other than injuries if Marvin Harrison doesn't pan out at the next level. I have never seen a more surefire prospect, and everybody talks about it that way. If Marvin Harrison is a bust at the NFL level, then everybody in the NFL Network is going to be in trouble because we've just figured out that all this is guesswork. There are no sure things. Because if Marvin Harrison isn't sure, then I'm not going to watch tape for the next 10 years because nobody is. Like I would be – that'd be the surprise of the draft for me if Harrison doesn't pan out at the next level. But I do agree with you. It is quite a bit of just – it's your opinion. I mean, that's and nobody has the same opinion about two guys.
And not only that, but it's your opinion about guys that are in their early 20s for the most part. Now, granted, this year it is, again, a little bit older of a draft class in many ways because of the COVID year, and that plays a factor. But you still are discussing, at the end of the day, you are discussing a group of young men for whom mistakes will still be made.
You're trying to decide who's going to grow up the best while making millions of dollars and moving away from their family to a new city that they've probably never been to before.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's
what it is.
It's unbelievable if you really put it in that perspective. That's a tremendous way to look at it.
Yeah. Now, granted, there's NIL money, this, that, and the other words. But again, especially for a guy that lived in the same place his whole life. Like, if you were to take me, I grew up in the same house from when I was 5 going into kindergarten. And my parents lived there until, like, my junior year of college. And they just moved maybe 3 years ago. If you were to take me then... Straight out of, you know, I go, you know, 3 years of college right then and there. I've lived in, my only memories are in my parents' house. And you're like, hey, by the way, you just got drafted number one overall. You're going to Seattle. You're going to play for the Seahawks. Here's $30 million. Your parents are now a phone call or a 6-hour flight away. Don't do anything stupid. Or imagine, even you're going to Vegas. Don't do anything dumb. Like, hey, well, that's pretty difficult. Dude, look where you put me at here.
Right. My parents lived in the same place for 45 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel you there.
Imagine plucking that 22-year-old. You're like, here's $30 million. This is Vegas. Don't do anything stupid. I'm sure it's going to work out every single time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and especially when you put it that way, with it being the Al Davis franchise that's sitting in Vegas.
Exactly. Of all the play, of all the all the teams to be sitting in Vegas, it would be Al Davis.
We'll step aside. Back with what may be the stupidest item of the day, and ask us anything when we continue on the game. Dumbest thing I've seen today happens to be my secondary baseball team.
Oh?
They're under investigation by the FAA.
The Rockies are?
Yes.
For?
Their hitting coach, Hensley Mullins, appearing in a video on a team charter flown by United Airlines, sitting in the pilot's chair while autopilot is on.
Ooh.
That is a... violation.
That's a big no-no right there. Yeah, I feel like the pilot's going to get in more trouble there than the Rockies are, but
probably so. But you know, thank you, social media.
Yeah, that's it's everywhere now.
Videos have since been deleted.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Oh, and that, and you know, one of their top pitchers. Granted, it's Kyle Freeland, but still, one of their top pitchers goes on the IL after being a base runner in a game and screwing up his shoulder.
Why?
The Rockies are 4-15. Thank you.
Why is he running in a game? Why would you not pinch run your pitcher? I don't know why I'm asking Troy. He's going to get mad.
No, he was the pinch runner.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Is Kyle Freeland that fast? You got to be a special kind of fast for me to try to pitcher out there as a pinch runner. I mean, like, that's not... I mean, we're talking... You've got to be Bobby Witt fast for me to risk my pitcher in a running situation. And I can guarantee you he is not Bobby Witt fast.
No, but he was replacing a catcher.
Still, you have no other bats available to run there?
Slid into home, collided with his counterpart, Jeff Hoffman.
Just
grabbing at his non-throwing shoulder.
Literally anybody else. Put an unimportant pitcher up there to run, then. If you got to run a pitcher out there, send the guy that throws 10 innings a year.
Freeland saying it's unrelated to the collision.
Oh, okay. Well, just bad timing then, I guess.
Well, it has everything to do with 23 earned runs in 15 and two-thirds innings over four starts.
Yeah, it's hard to pitch in Coors, isn't it?
Good Lord.
It's hard to keep pitchers in Coors.
It's hard to pitch at Coors, and he's a Colorado kid.
So you should be used
he's
to
he's a native.
Right? Yeah.
He's a native, for crying out loud.
You got to be used to pitching the altitude there.
All right. What you got with a 1 minute here?
With a 1 minute here, I want to know. It's not Valentine's or anything. I want to know, when did you know Monica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your wife's name? Mm-hmm. When did you know she was the one? What aha moment where you're like, okay, time to get real serious here?
When I found out she was a baseball fan.
There you go. That's real simple stuff. No need to go into further detail there.
It's the number one reason I say I married well.
Yeah, that's it's about all it would take for me, too. Yeah,
she never did shy away from what the schedule has been. She may not have liked it all the time, but yeah. She's never shied away from what the schedule has been.
That's huge, yeah, especially with how crazy the schedule can be.
Exactly. So, yeah, it kind of became pretty obvious pretty quick. All right, folks, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Cats. They're in action against Oklahoma State coming up. We'll hear from Matt Walters in just a few as we get things underway out at Twain Family Stadium. Have a great weekend. See you.